Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. Today's date is Friday, April 26, 2013, and I'm your host, Rob Dew. Let me tell you, if you've been watching InfoWars for at least, 6 months to a year, you know that we usually come out with stories before the mainstream media picks them up. And then by the time they pick them up, to us, it's old news. Well, these first two stories are like that. We go now to the AP. Boston suspect is moved, FBI searches landfill. And it talks about how Jakar Tsarnaev was moved from a hospital to a federal medical center. And then it also says, meanwhile, the bombing suspect's mother had been added to a federal terrorism database about 18 months before the attack. Well, let's go to the quote. Two government officials, speaking on condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to speak publicly about the investigation, said that the CIA had Zubeidah Tsarnaev's name added to the terror database along with that of her son Tamerlan after Russia contacted the agency in 2011 with concerns that the two were religious militants. Now, we reported on this days ago. In fact, it was late last week that we reported that they had ties to the CIA, that they were on terror watch lists, that Russia had contacted our government and said, hey, you need to look at these guys. Of course, that was ignored by the mainstream media until today. The AP finally reported it. It continues. It's all lies and hypocrisy, she told the Associated Press from Dagestan. I'm sick and tired of all this nonsense they make up about me and my children. People know me as a regular person. I've never been mixed up in any criminal intentions, especially those linked to terrorism. And there's been a lot of reports of her on TV crying, saying these are not my kids. They would not have done this. There was a report that the FBI called her son after the bombing, said they thought of him as a suspect, and he said, well, that's your problem. And, of course, none of that ever makes the mainstream media. It only sits around the periphery in the alternative media, and we report on it. But people like Rachel Maddow say we're crazy conspiracy theorists. Let's move on to the Washington Post. Here's another old news, but it's old news if you're an InfoWars reader. Anti-terrorism task force was warned of Tamerlan Tsarnaev's long trip to Russia. 9 months before the Boston bombing, U.S. counterterrorism task force received a warning that a suspected militant had returned from a lengthy trip to Russia, a U.S. official said. The warning was delivered to a single U.S. Customs Border Protection official assigned to Boston's Joint Terrorism Task Force. Was that just a picture of Michelle Obama that appeared? That was really scary. A cell of specialists from federal and local law enforcement agencies. The task force was part of a network of multi-agency organizations set up across the country after September 11th attacks to make sure that clues and tips were shared. Well, of course, these weren't shared because this is the same thing that happened with the underwear bomber, where an unnamed agency, as Patrick Kennedy testified in front of Congress, he said that an unnamed agency asked him not to revoke his visa so they could let him on the plane so they could track a larger network. And you could look up the lengthy videos and articles about the underwear bomber that we've put out there. Officials said there is no indication that the unidentified customs officer provided that information to any other member of the task force, including FBI agents who had previously interviewed the militant. So what do we need? We need more security. We need more cameras everywhere. We need big sis to stick her hands down our pants to make sure we don't have Al-Qaeda in our drawers. So the graphic says it's from the New York Times, but here we see it's from the Washington Post. The same thing. These guys just regurgitate the same stuff over and over again. And that's what you get with the mainstream media. So what are they going to do? They're going to say we need more security after this because it just wasn't enough. So now, coming from RT, Boston police chief wants drones for next year's marathon. We linked to that on InfoWars, and it was sourced from RT. And it starts off with a quote from Joe Biden. Joe Biden says the 2014 Boston Marathon will be bigger and more spectacular. And Davis, his name is Ed Davis. He was the one who Dan Bonatti first questioned about prior knowledge. And he said, we had no intelligence. Davis says he's looking forward to obtaining a drone aircraft to conduct surveillance from the Boston sky.
Drones are a great idea. I don't know that would be the first place I'd invest money, but certainly to cover an event like this and have an eye in the sky, they'll be much cheaper to run than a helicopter and is a really good idea.
And that's my horrible Ed Davis impersonation. So this is the man who had no intelligence that anything was going on, even though the Boston Globe was reporting that his officers were conducting bomb drills, his SWAT team officers. But hey, pay no attention to that. Also on the heels of this, DHS and FBI warn of terrorists with cameras following Boston bombing. And this is from Kurt Nemo from Today. Possible indicators of terrorist activity include discreet use of cameras or video recorders, sketching or taking notes consistent with pre-operational surveillance. And we've seen these things come out before. This is nothing new. Anytime you do anything, walking down the street with pants is also considered terrorism. Paying with cash is considered terrorism. There's all kind of things. Looking at an industrial plant could be considered terrorism. In fact, we had a guy who sent us a video. He was taking some photographs of a chemical plant down near Houston, Texas, and he got stopped by the police. They wanted to know what he was doing. And he's just a staff photographer. In addition, the suspicious purchases of items such as hydrogen peroxide, acetone, gasoline, propane, or fertilizer should be considered suspect by law enforcement. Fire, EMS, private security personnel, and emergency managers and forwarded to the appropriate Fusion Center and FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force for further action. And as we documented before, Fusion Centers serve primarily to surveil political groups and individuals considered threatening to the establishment. For instance, in 2009, we examined the MIAC report, which listed supporters of presidential candidate Ron Paul, Chuck Baldwin, or Bob Barr as militia and influenced terrorists. In March, the director of the Arkansas State Fusion Center, Richard Davis, said the Fusion Center in Little Rock does not monitor the activity of Al-Qaeda, but rather domestic terrorism in certain groups that are anti-government. And those are people who are pro-freedom, who want to get whole milk, who want to homeschool their kids, who, you know, just believe that you should have certain freedoms and liberties to do what you want to do. I know that's terrible, and we shouldn't have that in this country. We should all just bow down to the state. At least that's what Rachel Maddow thinks. I want to go now to a video that I put together over the last 2 days, and this is Alex Jones basically covering the cornucopia of evidence that shows that this was a false flag, provocateur, staged attack. And we go to that report now.
It was the former head of Homeland Security, Governor Ridge, who published a book a couple years ago admitting to the fact that they had issued fake terror alerts as a pretext to take American liberties and distract the public. And, of course, even the New York Times has reported that most terror plots have been orchestrated and planned by the FBI as a pretext to rationalize and promote their expansion and existence. Now, that said, I have never seen a false flag, provocateured, staged event by a government come apart faster than it is right now. And that owes largely to the fact that the public knows what to look for now, and there's so much more telecommunications out there. There's so many more avenues and venues and people that see something who are able to say something about what they see Homeland Security doing. Now, we have been thrust in the middle of this at InfoWars.com because of my awareness of false flags for 18 years, being probably the leading person worldwide exposing them. And there are so many thousands of people that have been doing a great job doing it. But because of my prominent role in focusing on this, we are the big target by the corporate media and major institutions and intelligence agencies that are very upset over the fact that their favorite mechanism of social control is being demolished in front of their eyes. They love to be able to use the organ of false flag, self-inflicted wound, provocateured and staged events to take control of society. And if that major tool of the societal frame-up is broken, their system is in deep trouble because problem, reaction, solution. Creating crises and then offering the solution, which is more power, is so central to their Hegelian dialectic system. Now, that said, I want to go over just some of the latest breaking news. Now, remember, there was a drill going on before, during, and after the marathon of a bombing. That was in the Boston Globe. And they did drills back in 2008 as well with the same thing. So their denial of that shows the fact they're hiding something. And the fact that the Secret Service came and got in our reporter's face, Dan Bedondi, when that's not their jurisdiction or their role, the president was nowhere around at those press conferences and threatened him to not hand out pictures, to not show contractors and people that were there part of the drill, to not show some of the Saudi Arabians, shows that from the very highest levels of the White House, they're scared. And I'm going to get to that right now. This is a big deal. And quite frankly, politically, I can see it, but also in my gut, I know InfoWars.com and my operation is in the greatest danger it's ever been because we are following this trail and it is hot and it is red hot. And we early on pointed out a bunch of prominent Saudis connected to the royal family who were there, some of them that were injured, and the fact that there was an attempt to cover up that fact. The attempt to cover up in basic criminology is one of the biggest red flags. And the White House has been forced to admit that, okay, we denied last week that this was going on and said that Drudge wasn't credible when Drudge was credible.
It was hard to ascribe credibility to them, and I don't know if I would put Forbes and Drudge in the same sentence, but...
Linking to the reports at InfoWars.com and TheBlaze.com showing these prominent Saudi Arabians and the fact that they'd been persons of interest. InfoWars.com was the first to release that information, and she came out and said, don't look at that.
But he is being deported.
No, I don't even think he was technically a person of interest or a suspect. That was a wash, and I'm unaware of any proceeding there. I will clarify that for you, but I think this is an example of why it is so important to let law enforcement do its job.
I want them to do their job, and that's why I say, wouldn't you agree with me that it's negligent for us as American administration to deport someone who was reportedly at the scene of the bombing, and we're going to deport him not to be able to question him anymore. Is that not negligence?
I'm not going to answer that question. It's so full with misstatements and misapprehensions that it's just not worthy of an answer.
Well, CBS reports the gentleman was there. We did detain him at the hospital. He was covered with blood. We've cleared him of any wrongdoing, but it has been reported. He is being deported on.
There's been so much reported on this that's been wrong, I can't even begin to tell you, Congressman. We will provide you with accurate information as it becomes available.
So now skip ahead 6 days, and Homeland Security and the White House have to quietly admit that, okay, Ali al-Harabi, indeed, was on the terrorist watch list, did visit the White House many times, in some cases being there for many hours. And okay, Michelle Obama did visit him, and we tried to cover this up. And okay, the Saudi foreign minister did have an emergency meeting with us the night of the bombing. But we don't want to discuss it, national security. So again, at every level, they don't want these pictures circulated. At every level, they're threatening reporters. At every level, they've got something to cover up.
Today, we are enlisting the public's help to identify the two suspects. These images should be the only ones, and I emphasize the only ones, that the public should view to assist us.
InfoWars.com. We're aware of the lies. We're going to expose your lies. The world is aware of false flags. Okay, we're not afraid. Okay, we've got a constitutional right. We know about the false flags. Okay, we're aware of it. InfoWars.com.
He's an American citizen.
And the big revelations just keep coming. The Georgia senator, Chambliss, told news in Georgia that he had intel and information that agencies and groups knew about the plan for the bombings and didn't share that information and basically did nothing.
Was there any prior knowledge of? Because according to BostonGlobe.com, they said they were doing drills this morning for the same exact thing that happened, according to BostonGlobe.com. Now, was you guys given any warning ahead of time of this taking place?
As I said earlier, there was no specific intelligence. We certainly increased our posture around a big event like this. All of those things happened in preparation for this event, but there was no specific intelligence that anything was going to happen.
But now let's go back to a report from last Friday, April 19th, by Kurt Nemo, where he pointed out that major Western foundations run by Zbigniew Brzezinski on record have been funding the very terror groups in Chechnya, Dagestan, Georgia, and other areas that have been carrying out terror attacks on Russian-controlled areas as a pretext to destabilize that country. Just as the White House, advised by Brzezinski, is using al-Qaeda in Libya and Syria against groups. I mean, this is such an incredible war crime. And Kurt Nemo wrote about the fact that the supposed mentors of the two Patsy bombers were and are known CIA operatives. Then fast forward back to Wednesday, April 24th, when it comes out in the Russian and the Georgian news, and the Georgian government releases the documents, their military, that indeed Tamerlan, the older brother, was in a CIA-sponsored State Department elite meeting for these recruits in Georgia. Then you go back and look at how he had an alias that he was allowed to use going back and forth in the U.S., a fake alias. Those only work if they want to let you back in. This was authorized. This guy has all the MO of an asset, of someone being told that he's being groomed to be in the CIA. When you see the CIA ads on TV for young people to join, they're looking for people to not just bring them coffee. They're not just looking for young women to, you know, give them sexual favors on the desk. They are looking for people to set up. And I want to explain something to you. This is 101 in intelligence, in a dirty intelligence system. This is how this stuff works. And these guys were clearly set up. Now, did they really bomb things? They could have been part of the drill. That's why you have a drill. Everybody brings a black backpack. You've got dozens of people with black backpacks. You've got army people. You've got what looks like SEAL contractors. You've got it all going on in a drill so that everybody feels comfortable. Everybody walks in with their backpacks. You leave your backpack part of the drill to test and see if the police find it. Then it goes off. You're a little freaked out, but you didn't do anything. You're naive. America's the good guys. You know, you don't know that America's been taken over by global crime syndicates. And so you go to parties, you go have fun, you tweet and talk to friends and people. You don't think you're going to get in trouble because you don't think you bombed anybody. And then you get a phone call, as the mother has said. And she's the same lady who correctly said 5 years ago the FBI was with her children. And then 2.5 years ago, the Russians blew their cover and said, hey, you're sending these guys in and out of areas that are controlled with terrorists. Do they work for you?
My son, it set up. He was controlled by FBI like for three, five years. They knew what my son was doing. They knew what actions and what the sites on internet he was going. They used to come home. They used to come. They used to come and talk to me. They used to tell me that, you know, that they are controlling his. They were telling me that he's a really a serious leader, and they are afraid of him.
You see, it's all there. The fake IDs, the connections to Western intelligence agencies, the going back and forth into these countries. This is what you expect to see with the drill. And then you see the response of the drill, the checkpoints, the papers, please, the whole city on lockdown, basic martial law. People chanting USA as their Bill of Rights goes up in smoke, and women come out of their houses with guns aimed at them, and the police say, well, they could all be with the terrorists. This is about America not being innocent until proven guilty, but being guilty until we're fully enslaved. Guilty until proven innocent. It's even worse than that. It's guilty until we submit to total tyranny. It's about all of us being suspects, but the very groups, the intelligence services and the security services, which are famous in history, going back to Rome, for staging events as a pretext for control. Is there real terrorism? Yes, it happens in the Middle East. It's asymmetrical warfare. It's people fighting back with unconventional weapons because they've been disarmed. I'm not endorsing what they do. It's called asymmetrical warfare. It's not called terrorism. Resisting the globalist occupation is called terrorism. Okay, that's what they call it. Whether you agree with the globalist occupation or not, the point is they call resisting terrorism.
Anytime bombs are used to target innocent civilians, it is an act of terror. Anytime bombs are used to target innocent civilians, it is an act of terror.
But outside of some of the Middle Eastern events and others, almost every event has been staged. And that's why we move the final piece of information. I saw the buildup to blame the Tea Party, conservatives, libertarians, returning veterans for terrorism, and flip from it being Muslims as the pretext to give up our rights to patriots, because that's the globalist main enemy, because we resist what their program is trying to carry out. And I said that the dramas, the sitcoms, all the movies, they're going to try to go after the patriot movement with staged events. And they were salivating when this happened, saying they were going to blame it on us.
Some who believe it might be right-wing terrorists.
If it was more conventional explosives, which are much harder to get hold of now, That might be some other kind of right-wing extremists. And we
normally do domestic terrorist people tend to be on the far right, although that's not a good category, just extremists. Just
Paxday, was it someone who was pro, you know, you just don't know.
But that it could be homegrown extremists who, of course, have attacked it in the past within America.
Etc. Now, if it's a right-wing white guy...
They made arrests and then released people and then evacuated courthouses. They flipped the plan because we had exposed it. And I even said on air, watch them try to blame us. And sure enough, Associated Press came out and said, there's some secret bad influence that did this. And then they say InfoWars.com. And we saw the headlines. Tamerlan linked to InfoWars conspiracy theorist Alex Jones. In Australia, alleged Boston bomber was Alex Jones conspiracy fan. Tamerlan was an Alex Jones fan. Salon, accused marathon bomber influenced by InfoWars. Tamerlan believed in basically every conspiracy theory. The bombing patsies come from a pretty professional family. Lawyers, oil company people, you name it. They came out day one saying a setup's happening here. They could set any of us up if they get away with this. This is the security service takeover of America. And they are trying to sell us that tyranny is actually security, and it's not. Tyranny is the opposite of security. And they're now trying to frame InfoWars.com with absolutely no evidence. Hey, some guy in a foreign country said he liked InfoWars. This is just incredibly creepy. To be so on target and exposing their program and to have America waking up to it and to have them have to go so far as to try to connect us to it really just shows that we're effective. You've got to realize there's different forces in this world. There's not just evil. There's also good. But there's also the complacent big middle that wear their complacency like a shield, and you're the people that are allowing all this evil to take over. Finally, I want to say this. We have no future if the men and women of this country, the successful, smart individuals out there, keep sitting on the sidelines. You're good as an insurance salesman or as a heart surgeon or as a lawyer, but you do your work and go home and have a good time. And you think of that as your life. But your life isn't real if you don't speak up for your basic freedoms. There is no special interest for freedom and due process and private property and family in this country. And that's why it's all under attack. You have to stand up as a special interest for basic human dignity and liberty. They try to distract you with all these fake civil rights issues when battles that have already been fought and won. When we need to be fighting for transparency in government, national sovereignty that's a firewall to global tyranny, when we should be standing up for monetary freedom and not to give $85 billion a month to foreign offshore banks and to have that secret from Congress. There are hundreds of other things. The basic right of an individual to be armed. I can't be armed. I'm collectively bad and can't be trusted. When statistically gun owners drop crime by 49% when you have higher gun ownership. But government, that's historically the most dangerous thing that you're supposed to keep on a short leash, it can be trusted to have a gun? We're entering very, very dark times, and it's good that people are starting to wake up, but not fast enough. You need to speak out. You need to say no. You need to get involved and not let them attach tyranny to the chant USA, USA, USA. When we get our factories back and turn our plants back on, our power plants, when our children get off the government drugs they're shipping in and get off the Prozac-type drugs and all the GMO, then we'll chant USA. That's what USA is about individualism and freedom and honor and dignity. This operation is a false flag. It is a staged event. These guys are definitely patsies that were set up. And they're manipulating our tribalism that, hey, the guys from the other tribe bombed us, but we got them. And the truth is they were young men recruited by globalist intelligence agencies and set up horribly. And they could do it to any of us. We're all in grave danger. That's our report. I hope you get it out to everybody you know, because this thing was a staged event. Was it completely provocateured? In fact, beyond provocateured. It was a complete setup of patsies like Lee Harvey Oswald and Tim McVeigh.
Today, we are enlisting the public's help to identify the two suspects. These images should be the only ones, and I emphasize the only ones, that the public should view to assist us.
Yes, these men and their hypnotized followers call this a new order.
So we here at InfoWars, we don't want a war on anyone. We want the government and the agencies and the shadow apparatus that goes around it to stop planning attacks like this, to stop working with these groups, to stop fomenting other groups in other countries that may want to come and may attack us. All I've seen so far in the time that I've worked here, and even before that, is FBI with informants provocateuring usually stupid people. Stupid, retarded people who they don't know their head from a hole in the ground, and they'll do anything they want just for a few bucks. Now, in that report, Alex mentioned back in 2008 they were talking about things like this. And I actually, as I was watching it going on just now, I forgot about adding this one piece, which is really a big, big piece of the puzzle right here. It's Marathons, A Tale of Two Cities, and the Running of a Planned Mass Casualty Event, written by Richard Cirino. Now, who is Richard Cirino? Well, back then he was the head of the department, Boston EMS, and assistant director of Boston Public Health. Well, now, right there you go, guys. Richard Cirino was appointed by President Obama and confirmed by the Senate as a Federal Emergency Management Agency's deputy administrator in October 2009. He wrote this lengthy report in 2008. And one page I really like is if you go down to page 11. Has a guy on a motorcycle and a jogger, and it says, collaboration, working with the media. Their mission is to get a story, building a long-standing relationship with journalists and reporters, especially mainstream media reporters who will do anything we say, ensures that they get the right story and that they serve as a resource when needed. Go to the next page. Special events and planned disasters. Planning. Okay, let's go to the one after that. Let's look at their little bullet points here. Planning. Interface and integrate with event organizers. Bring the right people to the table. Oh, could that be private contractors? Could that be other people doing drills with bombs? Yeah, we got to bring the right people to the table. Develop a mission. We're going to bring lots of backpacks, and we're going to see if we can find the bomb before it goes off. Develop a specific measurable objective. Well, we could have two bombs going off. Decide your elements of your plan and what you want to focus on exercising. Well, we want to focus on our response when there is a bomb-type event. Determine what your partners and you want to include in your exercise. People from other countries, Saudi nationals, people from Russia. Yeah. Be ambitious but realistic. I like that. So I don't think they went too far. I mean, they only tried to do two bombs at once at the finish line of the Boston Marathon. I think we pretty much put the nail in the coffin on that one. And we're going to go to break, and we're going to be back. We've got a Skeksy Award winner, and you're going to find out right after this. It's InfoWars Nightly News.
Authoritarian control freaks throughout history have sought to make populations dependent. The United Nations openly has talked about using food as a weapon against the Third World and the industrialized First World. State Department Memorandum 200, developed by Henry Kissinger, called for destroying the food capacity, not just of the United States, but every country in the world, so they could use food scarcity as a political weapon of control. Just a decade ago, less than 10 million Americans were on food stamps. 4 years ago, it was 25 million. It's now reached almost 50 million. Socialist health care is designed to destroy our health care system. The establishment wants you to be a bunch of cowardly, dumbed-down people who can't stand up for yourselves. That's why they're rushing to try to restrict citizens owning firearms. Because since the early 1990s, gun ownership has gone straight up, while violent crime has gone straight down by 49%. And globalist-controlled strongholds like Chicago and New York, where they've taken the citizens' guns, have the highest crime rates in the world. What am I getting at here? The system doesn't want you to be self-sufficient. That's why I promote the fact that you should go out, buy firearms, and go take lessons and learn how to use them. I want you to stand up for your birthright of liberty and freedom. During a serious meltdown, they're going to tell you, hey, you want food? Turn in your guns. And that's why we need to put the globalists in check. and then finally bring them to checkmate by being self-sufficient, by being prepared, by having a garden, by learning how to can your own foods, by having friends and family and community that will stand together. But at the heart of that is having quality, storable foods. And that's why I went out more than a decade ago and found the very best food company to be my sponsor, eFoods Direct. They're the company that I personally use for my emergency food storage preparation, whether it be for natural disasters or the tyranny that is intensifying. So give them a call, 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex to find the weekly and monthly specials. But they're always running the specials where you can get the free six meals and the eFoods Direct audio CD put together by the experts in storable foods to answer all your questions, the eFoods planning guide, the eFoods brochure, the eFoods catalog, plus six free meals, creamy potato soup, tortilla soup, and cheesy chicken rice, so you can sample the high-quality storable foods from eFoods Direct. They've got a bunch of other specials.
The two-week food supply provides one adult with 81 servings of healthy, delicious, storable food for 14 days.
A one-month food supply provides 192 servings for 28 days.
And then there's the one-month family food pack. It will change the way you look at the food in your pantry. Every time you eat one of these meals, you are eating healthy, delicious food and saving a lot of money.
The three-month food supply, 576 servings of storable food for 91 days.
And the one-year food supply will provide you with 2,304 servings of healthy, delicious, storable food for one full year.
Your meals are as delicious and nutritious tonight as they'll be in 25 years.
Bottom line, there's a bunch of specials at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You can also call them at the toll-free number on your screen, and they can send you a catalog with all the specials detailed and tell you about the weekly and monthly specials that they're always running. eFoodsDirect.com/Alex to find all the specials or call the toll-free number. And so in closing, when you buy from eFoodsDirect.com, you are supporting the radio broadcast, the nightly news, the magazine, the films, and everything we're doing. Because we're not like MSNBC or Media Matters that get government and corporate funding to bring down America and bring in tyranny. We are funded by our sponsors and you, the viewers and listeners, that support them. Again, that's eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or 800-409-5633. And when you're also visiting Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com, you can click on the banners to take you to the weekly and monthly specials. It's like the Hank Williams Jr. song, A Country Boy Can Survive, because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run because these boys were raised on shotguns. Well, there aren't really a lot of good old boys left anymore, are there? And those that are out there are demonized and are enemy number one by Homeland Security. And good old boys come in all shapes, colors, and sizes. They're people that aren't chumps, who understand that they're going to take care of their family and that nobody else is. There are people that understand that if somebody else is taking care of them, that makes them a slave. And that the government doesn't want you dependent because they want to build a great future for you. They want to get you dependent so they can social engineer us. So the answer is get self-sufficient, become men again, and tell the New World Order to go straight to hell. Alex Jones signing off for InfoWars.com and eFoods Direct, our great sponsor.
Welcome back to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Rob Dew. I just want to remind you, if you are watching this program on YouTube, please consider becoming a member of PrisonPlanet.tv. It is our subscriber site. It is what funds everything you see here, plus sending reporters around to get the stories, sending camera people around. I mean, it takes a lot of work to put together what we do every day. So please consider becoming a member of PrisonPlanet.tv. $5.95 a month, plus you can share your subscription with up to 10 other people at the same time. You could all be on. And you get the radio show that we shoot video of during the day. You also get the nightly news, plus all the movies, all the documentaries, everything that we have, books, special reports. I mean, it is a cornucopia of knowledge, which these people hate. Media Matters. Let's go to our next article. How Matt Drudge serves as Alex Jones's web traffic pipeline. I'm sorry, I have to go into my simpering NPR voice. This is by Ben DeMiro. Drudge Report hath promoted at least 50 separate articles at Jones's InfoWars website in 2013, and has linked to at least 244 different articles on the site in the past 2 years. Wow, that's a lot of articles, Ben. Drudge has announced this week that he privately told friends that 2013 would be the year of Alex Jones. Considering Jones's penchant for promoting Jones and his InfoWars website, those comments are more of a promise than a prediction. And there's the little photo that they put together of Matt. And they don't even have good Photoshop artists there. Look at that. I can see the little outline there on Drudge. They didn't even do a good cutout. Jeez. Alex Jones is the famous radio host, famous for pushing absurd conspiracy theories about a host of issues, including the U.S. government perpetrated or otherwise was involved in the 9/11 attacks, the Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre, the Oklahoma City bombing, the Space Shuttle Columbia disaster, and the Aurora movie theater shooting. Thanks, Ben. Thanks for updating us on all that. Yeah. Don't look at the evidence that we provide. Just say they're outrageous conspiracy theories. And say it like that, because people will believe you if you say it like that. That's right. Moving on. Rachel Maddow, yesterday we covered an article. Oh, well, there she is right there, winning the Skeksy Award. We had the article from Kurt Nimmo, Rachel Maddow froths over Boston false flag attack. And she went on for 14 minutes. But before she was talking about that, she actually was like promoting a 9/11 comic book that was put out by the 9/11 Commission. She was like, you got to get the comic book. For those of you who don't like to read, get this comic book. It explains everything in these beautiful pictures. Don't look at the video. Don't look at the video of Building 7 falling, because then you might ask questions. You might ask why the BBC said the building fell 45 minutes before it fell. You might ask that question. You might look at it and say, that looks like a controlled demolition. How did they get controlled demolition experts in there between the hours of 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. when it fell? Well, don't ask that question. You might be a crazy conspiracy theorist, and it might be called a false flag. And you know what Rachel says about false flags, right? We know that.
And by false flag, he means a cloak and dagger, super extra, double top secret black ops operation that the government carries out in such a way as to make it look like the operation was done by somebody else. He means the U.S. government bombed Boston. So our own government could make it look like we were under attack by somebody else so they could use it to their advantage somehow. That's false flag. That's what he's saying happened in Boston. He thinks that happens everywhere. He thinks that about
everywhere. Everywhere? No, I think, Rachel, it did happen in Boston. And Alex thinks it happened in Boston. And I think after it happened, the police used it as an excuse to go door to door, beat people's doors down, pull them out of their homes, point guns at them, make them hold their hands up in the air like they were all criminals. Does that sound like a free society to you? You know, you're Miss Civil Liberties. Does that sound like civil liberties to you? Oh, but we were going after a 19-year-old kid who turns out wasn't even armed. But hey, we got to give up all of our liberties for security, right? We got to have drones in the skies. Or the next terrorist is going to get us. Oh, but don't pay any attention to the CIA was warned about this guy, or that he was recruited by CIA-fronted groups in Georgia and in Kazakhstan. Don't pay any attention to that. No. Or that the FBI was contacted by the Russians and said, who is this guy? How is he traveling under assumed names? Oh, and it turns out they had his mother on a terror watch list 9 months. Was it 9 months or was it 11 months? 9 months before the Boston bombing. But no, it's not a false flag. It's a super-duper thing. So what do we do for you, Rachel Maddow? We're going to give you the Skeksy Award for your truth and honesty in promoting war and pillaging and everything else. That's right. We can give her the USA Award, too. But we're definitely giving her the Skeksy Award. So let's pull it up full screen. There it is.
Yes.
I hate your whimper.
Ah, yes, I hate it. But you get the Skeksy Award, Rachel Maddow. Because you've really just taken it for all it's worth. You've just taken the government story, hook, line, and sinker. You've looked at no other photos of any other people carrying backpacks. You've just done what the government's told you to do, because you are a minion. Congratulate yourself. All right, let's move on. Teachers suspended for showing gardening tools to class. Oh, my God. Doug Bartlett, a veteran teacher with an outstanding record of 17 years, has filed a lawsuit against a school district in Chicago for suspending him without pay after giving a lesson on gardening tools to his second grade students. The nerve of that man. Pulling out gardening tools. Only in the United States would you be condemned and suspended for showing your class gardening tools. Oh. The district says that Mr. Bartlett exhibit negligence in supervising the children and possessing and carrying and storing or using a weapon. That's right. He was suspended without pay for 4 days. Wow. Hey, a related story occurred in fall of 2012 when vice principal of a California school suspended a boy for bringing kombucha in his lunchbox. Kombucha. That's another terrorist weapon. With no parent or guardian present at any time, the boy was interrogated in the school office by administration and a police officer and was suspended for 5 days for violating the school's drug and alcohol policy. Yeah, kombucha has the most minute amount of alcohol. Not even all of it does. It's fermented. It's a fermented drink. It's like drinking vinegar. Apple cider vinegar, which is good for you. It'll clean your third eye. Wow. So let's get it one more time, guys. Teacher suspended for showing gardening tools to class. Yeah. Yeah. Woo. And our final article of the evening. Well, actually, we got a couple more, but the one we're going to cover, and then we got some source articles. From RT, NYPD will deploy harmless gas into subway in terror response drill. Ah, wow, we haven't seen that before. The New York City Police Department announced Wednesday that it will deploy then track what it calls harmless gases into the city's subway system over 3 non-consecutive days this summer. There's a whole new meaning to passing the gas. They're going to be passing the gas into the subway system. Now, back in 2005, Amy Goodman from Democracy Now! Conducted an interview with Leonard Cole, and the title of this article is How the U.S. Government Exposed Thousands of Americans to Lethal Bacteria to Test Biological Warfare. Homeland Security Department last month released what they said was a non-toxic gas into Grand Central Station. So they did this back in 2005, too. And it talks about Democracy Now! Spoke with chemical terrorism expert Leonard Cole to ask what the non-toxic gas actually was. He wrote a book about how in the 1950s and 60s, U.S. government scientists ran a series of tests to determine how easy it was to expose large numbers of people to lethal bacteria. And if you go down into the transcript, Amy Goodman asked, when did it happen? He says, Leonard Cole says, the test in the subways was in 1966 and was part of an experimental program that lasted 20 years, beginning in 1949 and ending only in 1969. They emphasized that the materials that were used to simulate anthrax and other deadly organisms were harmless. But in my research and in the work that was published in the book, it was very clear that some sort of materials were not totally harmless. That when you expose 1 million or 2 to 3 million people to a relatively harmless material, you still have a certain segment of the population that could be at risk. But I guess those are risks we have to take. We have to test our human populace without their knowledge. And, you know, some of them might die. Yeah. I guess you could say that's what the vaccine program is. They inject enough kids, and some of them, well, they have convulsions and die. But, you know, it's only a few. It's a small percentage, you know.
So conspiracy theorists would call that a false flag,
as our Skeksis Award winner would say. Yeah, or they'll throw you in prison and say you shook your baby after they die from convulsions in their crib. And they call it crib death. Yeah, that's how nice they are. Our people in the federal government aren't there to help you. They're not there for your security. They're there to provide you tyranny. There it is. Slavery is freedom is their motto, and that's what they practiced in Boston last week. So when you make fun of Alex Jones and put out tweets that he's crazy, let me tell you, he's not crazy. He is spot on with his analysis, and he came out day one and said this looks like a false flag, and he was right. So the U.S. government does, always has, and probably always will conduct experiments on us. Does that make you feel better? Does that help you sleep at night? Now, before we go, we have one last report from the crack in Dan Bedondi. Last week on the 19th, Oath Keepers was supposed to have their gathering at the Lexington Green. I attended that in 2009 and shot a bunch of videos, actually took the oath even though I never served in the armed forces. But they said anybody can take the oath. And I took it there. I went there with Aaron Dykes, and we shot a bunch of interviews. I think it was included as an extra in Fall of the Republic. And anyway, Dan was there. They wanted to encircle the green with police and not allow them to have their gathering because they were afraid that I guess Oath Keepers are some sort of terrorist organization and they were going to mount some attack. Here's Dan. He's a little emotional in this report, but we know he means well, and we know he systematically stopped three press conferences when they were trying to put out their false flag Patsy story and basically caught him in the act. So here's that report.
This is Dan Bedondi reporting for the InfoWars Nightly News. What you're looking at behind me is the Lexington Battleground that's been roped off by the local police here, and they will not, on the city ordinance, they will not allow Oath Keepers on that land. 239 years ago, our founding fathers, our relatives who fought in the Revolution, died on that land, and that's the home of democracy, folks, the home of freedom in this country, and our people are not allowed on that land. It is despicable, and any police here that's following orders just doesn't cut it.
Why are they being denied on the grounds that our founding fathers fought for all our freedoms?
If you're not informed of what's happening.
I know they pulled the permit, but by you guys following these orders, you are being held accountable because you following orders just doesn't cut it. This is ridiculous, man. And, you know, it's not your fault, but I mean, these guys got to.
Are you aware that people have died this morning?
Oh, absolutely, but that has nothing to do. 239 years ago, our founding fathers died over here, too.
Are you aware that it's
what happened.
Very close proximity to where we are right now?
I understand, but what's that to do with us being over there?
You obviously don't understand. I'm sorry.
Well, what does that have to do with patriots being on the battlefield?
I think that we probably should think about a couple of weeks, actually, to have this all settled down.
I find myself struggling, as we all are, with not wanting terrorist acts to prevail and to impinge on our freedoms that we all cherish. At the same time, we all cherish our freedoms but expect a high degree of public safety from our municipal employees and from our elected officials.
But Boston, the city that's affected by this, has already moved past it. And by dwelling on this in the city of Lexington days after is once again sending the wrong message, and we're giving this person the attention they want. We're giving them the victory they search for. I don't want to buckle my knees in the face of terror. I don't want to tell them they're victorious. I'm not afraid. On April 19th, I will stand on that ground, despite any possibility of something happening. I'm not afraid of it.
We should be able to hold a whole rally over there.
Exactly. Yeah. How does it feel that you're restricted?
I think it's ridiculous. I think the selectmen of this town have taken the mask off and shown their true colors. What they are is Marxists. You know, they don't want to even recognize the heritage of their own town. When they talk about what we're doing today, they made a reference to Oklahoma City and to Timothy McVeigh, as though that's why we're here.
Our founding fathers died and our relatives died on that land. How does that make you feel that you can't step 1 foot without getting arrested?
Well, it's sort of tragic because this group, the Oath Keepers and a few other groups, had the permit, and a selectman in town, a lady that runs the select chairwoman, she said there may be some connection between you folks and what happened in Boston on April 15th.
So automatically demonized patriot groups, which we know on Homeland Security, the top of their list is returning veterans and patriot groups. And how does this make you feel, man?
Well, that's the Southern Poverty Law Center's influence. 30 or 40 years ago, the conservative type patriot groups were sort of warning the FBI about these far left groups. Now the tide has turned. Now they're the ones that are saying, oh, the people who take an oath, the people at home school, the people that believe in the Constitution, they're the bad guys.
You see the police are denying these guys that write the First Amendment, that they should be on that battleground. Who are you people to deny them that? These guys are tyrants. Our founding fathers died in that field for your freedom, and you're denying them access to that road. These guys are a disgrace.
It looks like they're slowly trying to kind of incriminate any police officers or any military men who want to uphold their oath.
We have been given a heritage that is priceless. And may God grant that we can keep this heritage so that our children and our grandchildren can not only enjoy it, but actually make it even better than what they've been given by us.
It is a discrimination to the Constitution, the smack in the face that all our founding fathers and everybody fought for our country. And this is Dan Bedondi reporting from Lexington Green of InfoWars Nightly News.
Release the Kraken!
You are not getting our guts. You can assess me all you want, okay? My name is Dan Bedazzi. I'm not afraid of you. I'm a patriot. I'm sticking up against Herod. You said our father's dead in 1776. 1776 will commence again.
Release the Kraken. And there he goes. He does exactly what we ask him to do. He's actually got some more great reports coming out. We're going to be doling them out next week. Dan is surely on fire. And that takes us to our quote of the day from Captain John Parker of Lexington Green, April 19th, 1775. Stand your ground. Don't fire unless fired upon. But if they mean to have a war, let it begin here. And that's the statue of John Parker who's up there. You saw that in the report earlier. And let me tell you, those guys stood their ground to the largest empire in the world at the time. So you got to give it to them for that. And that was the shot heard around the world. The date is April 26, 2013, and you're watching us on PrisonPlanet.tv. I'm Rob Dew, and this is InfoWars Nightly News, and we'll see you next week.